Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast. Welcome in, everybody. I hope your Mondays are going fantastically well. I am Clay Travis. He is Buck Sexton. It is time for the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. We have got loads of stories as we roll into the week to dive into from over the weekend. Mask mania continues to spread. Former President Barack Obama, he doesn't care. He's having a 500-person birthday party. The eviction moratorium is expiring. Evidently, you don't get to stay for free in other people's property forever. New York City, not going to mandate masks. There's a TikTok vaccine army. Australia is in the middle of lockdown hell. And Simone Biles is returning. The U.S. women's soccer team has lost, sending many of you joyfully into the streets to celebrate. And the biggest current Democratic mask hypocrite, I would say, is Mayor Bowser from Washington, D.C., who managed to officiate a wedding and appear at a several hundred person post-wedding celebration, Buck Sexton. But she was not wearing a mask in violation of her own rules in becoming the latest Democratic politician to have rules for thee, but not for you. And there's so much chaos and hypocrisy that continues to build around the mask mandates. How was your weekend, Buck Sexton? And do you think that things can get any more insane?
Oh, it's going to get crazier, everybody. Strap in all across the country, I can assure you, because here's what you have to remember. There's an inverse relationship between clarity for rational people and insanity for the irrational people, as in we see more data, we see more reality and say, okay, things are going to calm down. They actually get more insane because they've convinced themselves that the moment they start to let up and believe some of those other numbers is when they really have to lock things down even more. Plus, if we don't do what they want us to do and everything actually happens the way we say it will, Clay, maybe they were wrong all along, which is another huge fear they have. But you asked about the weekend. I was, first off, T and a low at Washington Examiner with the hat tip on the reporting about Mayor Bowser
in D.C.
And we're gonna dive into that in a second, just because. So classic. I mean, joins that long list of all these of the governor of California, Newsom, of the mayor of
Chicago. French Laundry ridiculousness. Lori Lightfoot flagrantly breaking her own rules.
Lori Lightfoot needed a haircut because she's important and you're not. That was what the rule was. That was actually the rule in Chicago. But I got told over the weekend in my own neighborhood in a wine store, excuse me, sir. You have to leave. You don't have a mask on. I'm sitting there. I'm saying, there's no mask mandate. Like what? Oh, now we're going to do this thing where some people in some stores expect you to have the emergency smelly mask in your back pocket. Because let's be honest, it gets sweaty and then it sits in the back pocket. You don't really use it all the time. No one's washing their masks, too. These things are petri dishes. And it's, okay, for you, I'll put on my mask. And then I'm sure the people that work in this store go out to eat or they go to another grocery store without their masks on. But we're going to keep playing this game until they've exhausted themselves with their irrationality, Clay, which might take a very long time.
Yeah, I talked about this on Friday. I landed in Las Vegas on Thursday night, 2 hours before their mask mandate went into effect at midnight on Friday. So on Sunday morning, so Saturday, Friday, my wife went down to the gym in the hotel we were staying at. We were at the Palazzo out on the strip for people out there in Vegas. And she went to work out in the gym while we were doing our show on Friday, the morning Pacific time out there. And so worked out Friday. She goes back down to work out on Sunday. They have changed everything in the gym, Buck. They have an employee who is walking around the gym to ensure that people who are running on treadmills have their masks accurately up above their nose. If you are running on a treadmill and your mask falls down for any period of time at all below your nose, she was immediately telling people that they had to lift their masks back up. This is a Las Vegas hotel, right? It's not like people make typically really great, healthy decisions in Las Vegas. Probably the people that are in the gym working out in the morning in a Las Vegas hotel are probably pretty healthy, relatively speaking. She is walking around the gym telling people as they are working out, as they are running full speed on treadmills, that they have to ensure that their mask is not falling down. And by the way, it's almost impossible to run very fast with a stupid mask on your face where you can't get oxygen. There is no way that is safer. They're going to have, if they haven't already had, lawsuits from people who are trying to work out that end up passing out because they can't get enough oxygen. And that has to be statistically infinitely more dangerous than you breathing out during the post-COVID when so many people are vaccinated and so many people have already had it. All this is insanity.
Everyone's going to have the place where they have to draw the line coming up. That's
right. That's for her. That was it. She said, I'm out.
That's what we're heading for.
She just left the gym. She said, I can't do this.
That's where we're going here. For some people, I would put myself in this category, although Mrs. Travis goes to the gym a lot more than I do. The gym is going to be a line for me. Whenever I do finally get my butt into the gym, I'm not wearing a mask in the gym. People can come up to me. They can give me crap. It's too much. For a lot of people, though, I think it's going to be schools.
Yes.
And this, you're seeing this now playing out in some states are fighting back against this. Other states are saying that they're going to go forward with this. You're going to have masked children in some schools, unmasked children in others. And this is going to terrify the mask maniacs because we'll have real data sets to look at of people the same age range in different states. And did masks do anything with regard to outbreaks and cases? Now, they'll ignore the data because they always do, but at least we'll have the data in a clear and straightforward way. But I think everyone needs, you know, what I've been saying, Clay, to this point is that in a few weeks, it'll be clear that this is a wave like the other waves and it'll start to go down again.
That's right.
But as we know, just because there's a wave and we see it and it happens, as we say, they never learn the necessary lessons from this process playing out. The lockdowners always find a way to justify it in their heads. And what you're seeing now is a move toward COVID zero as the overall mentality. This is why the Washington Post reports on how many cases there are. And people say, well, hold on a second. What about the fact that fatalities are down over 90% from the peak?
Right.
That cities like New York have one or two people a day dying from COVID. And look, every death is a tragedy. But we got a lot more people than that literally getting shot in some of these cities. You've got people dying from heart disease in much higher numbers. There's a total disconnect from the reality. And if we saw what goes on in some of these European countries, did you see some of these protests over the weekend?
Yes.
In Germany, in France. I mean, when you have Germans with Polizei on their chest going into cafes and bludgeoning old people for not obeying state mandates, that should make the hair on the back of your neck stand up a little bit. Like, this is getting really authoritarian and scary in other countries. Never mind Australia, where they've called out the military and they're fining people $500 for being seen without a mask in public. This is absolute insanity. But the Democrats have not accepted that at all. They're actually doubling down. And I'm hearing there's a Biden speech coming this week where he's going to do just that.
Yeah. And here's the thing. You can look at the data. If we want to, England is an interesting example, right? We talked about India, where the Delta variant emerged in the first place. Almost no one in India is vaccinated. And they've actually done antibody studies that show that two-thirds of India basically got COVID. And we've talked about this a lot, Buck. The reason why I would point to England does studies, and I don't know why we haven't done these studies in the United States. It's an interesting question, and I think an indictment of our overall health leadership. But they are projecting now in England, as cases are starting to decline fairly precipitously, despite the fact that they've opened the country back up in a big way on July 19th, 92%, Buck, of people in England, according to the studies that they've done, have either been vaccinated or had COVID. So we talk a lot about herd immunity, at least we used to. If we know 92% of the people in England have either gotten the vaccine or have had COVID, I would think that our numbers in the United States can't be that much different than England. Wouldn't you think it's somewhat similar?
This is an essential conclusion. And we didn't even discuss this beforehand, but I was thinking about this all weekend, and I completely agree with where this takes us. What really should be posed to the public, and I'm basing this on your UK data you're citing, which I've also seen, is your choices actually, and they've pretended all the stuff the state, the big S state has done, has been, we will keep you safe. Do everything we say and we will keep you safe. And really what you see is your choice is just how you're exposed to COVID and under what circumstances. You can get it after being, you'll be exposed to COVID after being vaccinated, which might mean you have no infection. And it is very effective up to this point at preventing severe illness and death. That is what the data says so far. People are worried about it declining. But really what we've set up here is a choice between get COVID naturally or get vaccinated and maybe still get COVID, but it is a small, small percentage. But it's either get vaccinated or get COVID. There is not this all this other stuff that you hear about is noise, because essentially everyone is going to be exposed to it some point.
That's the entire purpose of the vaccine, is to expose your body to COVID. So either you're going to get it naturally or you're going to get it artificially through the vaccine.
And that's it. And so while all this stuff about the people, this is why you have to put yourself in the mind of those who were double masking outside, even when they were going bicycling with their children, you know, Lake and Xavier and, you know, Atticus or whatever, right? Like, I'm thinking of Brooklyn people here who are all about the most extreme measures possible. They're like in their 30s, but for them,
zero risk statistically,
almost zero risk. But for them, their mindset is, oh, but I could still, even though I'm vaccinated, I could still get it. And it's those evil Trump supporters. It is the low risk vaccinated who are pushing the madness. The unvaccinated right now out there are like, I've made my choice. Let it ride. It's the people.
And by the way, the unvaccinated may also have already had COVID too, Buck. I mean, a lot of people, like this discussion about, oh, there's people who are refusing to get the vaccine. A lot of those people think or know that they had COVID, right? So, again, I go to that 92% because we spend a lot of time talking about what percentage of people have been vaccinated or refusing to be vaccinated, totally vaccinated, depending on the age. If you actually look at that British study, 92% of people either have had the vaccine or have had COVID. And a lot of those 92%, by the way, Buck, have had both, right? There's a lot of people out there who had COVID and also have gotten the vaccine. And all of this, as you said, is virtue signaling madness. The people who are vaccinated are the most restrictive on what they want to be done still.
We're going to come into Dr. Fauci in a second here, who is the lab coat tyrant extraordinaire, who believes that you have a right, or people have a right, to make you not have a right to breathe free fresh air. We'll come into that in a moment. We've got a testimonial here about Relief Factor. Once again, they just keep flooding in. This one's from David in Pennsylvania. He writes, I tried Relief Factor for hip pain and was surprised that it also helped relieve my shoulder and foot discomfort. After taking it for a month, I stopped, and sure enough, the pain returned. I started taking Relief Factor again, and within a week, the pain was relieved. I'm now taking Relief Factor daily, David writes. Look, I know that Relief Factor has really helped my dad. My mom started taking it because my dad has had such good results with it. And it's helpful in the Travis family as well, Clay.
Yeah, I talked about my wife earlier in the show and how good a shape she's in, even though she's being driven insane by people who are mask patrolling her. And she wants to make sure that she uses 100% drug-free product, which addresses joint pain, knee, hip, back, neck, and shoulder pain. She loves Relief Factor, which she takes because it was created by doctors based on scientific research. It helps your body reduce pain and inflammation from aging, exercise, and everyday living. And it goes right to the source of the inflammation. Hundreds of thousands of people have already ordered Relief Factor, and about 70% of them keep ordering more. You can join the more than 500,000 total people and order your 3-week quick start for only $19.95 today. Again, go to relieffactor.com, call 800-4-RELIEF, and you get a $19.95 3-week quick start developed for you at relieffactor.com. You can call 800, the number 4, relief, Relief Factor. Feel the difference.
So a person's individual decision to not wear a mask not only impacts them, because if they get infected, even though they say it's my decision, if I get infected, I'll worry about that. But the fact is, if you get infected, even if you are without symptoms, you very well may infect another person who may be vulnerable, who may get seriously ill. So in essence, you are encroaching on their individual rights because you're making them vulnerable. So you could argue that situation both ways.
Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. This is Buck, and that was the Fauci. And you heard him over the weekend making this case, which has really been what their mentality is all along. This is how they think about things. Their unreasonable anxiety, the lockdowner mentality, the virtue signaling, the sanctimony that goes along with it, all of that, they're not going to let it go. And you have to live by the rules dictated by that madness. So, Clay, in essence, it's like the Fauci saying, my mask is your mask. Your mask is like my mask, and we're a happy mask family, and shut up, take the shot, and double mask. I mean, that's, this guy's been, at least he's consistent in being awful.
Well, the problem with the logic that of the clip that we just laid out is that doesn't just apply to COVID. What Dr. Fauci is effectively arguing is if you are ever sick and you ever get someone else sick for any reason, then you are in some way culpable for that, which is directly contrary to anything that we've ever said about viruses in the past. The flu exists every year. Colds exist every year. To my knowledge, we never sit around and argue about, hey, who's responsible for how I ended up sick? Because the attenuated nature of viral transmission is so difficult that basically viruses spread in general through the course of normal human interaction. And that is a bargain that all of us have had to make throughout human history, that in order to be human, there comes with it some risk. And one of those risks is virus. And that's why, Buck, I've been making this argument for years and years. And I think it's a good one that it's worth circling back around to. And I'll give credit to my old high school econ teacher who came up with it the first time I ever heard anybody say it. You can't eliminate, we agree that life requires with it a certain level of risk. And I'll give you an example, and this is one that I've been using for decades. We could make cars that would guarantee, Buck, that no one ever died. How would we do that? We could put a governor on a speed limit, and no one would ever be able to drive more than 20 miles an hour. You would have to be a pretty big imbecile in a car to die driving 20 miles an hour. I mean, you could still drive off a cliff, I guess. There are certain ways that you could still allow yourself to die at 20 miles an hour, but it's almost impossible to die at 20 miles an hour. But society has decided that for the purposes of driving 65, 75, 55, whatever mile per hour we're willing to take, that we're willing to have 40,000 people a year die because we value speed and we balance that out with loss of life. How are we not doing that now?
You should also have to mandate helmets in cars, by the way, because head injuries in cars are much more common that lead to death than for cyclists. But that's a whole other conversation. We'll come back into the madness of the left here in a second. But if you own a home, you got to have home title lock, because the FBI says home title fraud is one of the fastest growing crimes out there. That's why Clay and I both have home title lock to protect our homes. The title documents to our homes are stored in the cloud. That's really risky because that's where the cyber thief finds it. But that's where they are. They forge your signature on a quitclaim deed, says you sold your home to them. Then the nightmare starts. Collection calls for loans you never took out. And your insurance or common identity theft services don't cover you. For pennies a day, Home Title Lock secures your home's title and backs it with a $1 million guarantee. Register your address. See if you're already a victim. You'll get 30 days free when you call 800-708-LOCK. That's 800-708-LOCK. Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show, and we are trying to make sense of the madness and island of sanity in a storm of Fauciite crazy. We were just talking before about how he says you don't have a right to breathe fresh air like a normal person has for all of human history, because other people have a right to not be exposed to your microscopic germs that you have no control over. So we're getting now into the end stages of what you could call the Fauciite madness. You could call it the lockdown consensus, or just the anything to beat Donald Trump in 2020 and leverage all of the panic and fear possible to do so strategy. But here we are now starting to deal with the new reality of people saying, I mean, Clay brought up a moment ago, it's an astute point, it's one that we were both making, many conservatives were making in the beginning of this whole thing, why not have a 15-mile-an-hour speed limit, right? And people said, oh, you just want grandma to die. This
That's right.
To that point, because we don't think that it's a fair trade to make everybody. I brought up the thing about bicycle helmets. If anyone does a quick look at the stats, far more people die from head injuries and car crashes than on bicycles. It's not even close. So why not? Why shouldn't everyone be driving around in their car with a serious helmet on? I mean, they do it for NASCAR drivers, right? Why not have everybody? We all understand at some point it's crazy. And Clay, here is Dr. Megan Ranney on CNN kind of saying the quiet part out loud.
We are never going to go back to a pre-pandemic reality. And I do agree that we do have to become comfortable with the fact that this virus is going to be sticking around. Our goal is to decrease severe illness, hospitalization, and death. Listen, there are 200 hospital workers in San Francisco who've gotten sick over the last couple of weeks because of exposure largely to unvaccinated people who caught Delta, who then got the vaccinated sick. That's not fair. So yes, we have to learn to live with this, but today is not the moment where we drop our precautions. When we get all of our kids vaccinated, when we know a little more about the long-term effects of the breakthroughs, then that's the point at which this becomes yet another virus that is part of our day-to-day life.
Well, we're never going back to our pre-pandemic reality. That's the part that we have to fight against with everything we have. That's the part we have to summon our vision of what they're doing to people in Australia and France and Germany. Like state-sanctioned psychopaths, Clay. We cannot allow it.
Well, and we're to the point now where COVID is the eighth or ninth leading cause of death in the United States, if it's even that high right now. And I've been arguing this for over a year now, but at some point, the obsession with COVID because it's new, if we're going to be obsessed with health, instead of mandating masks and lockdowns, we should have mandated diets and exercise. Because the number one way that you could help to protect yourself from COVID for much of the last 18 months was by being as healthy as you possibly could. Because you can't control your age, but obesity was one of the massive causes of death associated with COVID. If you were obese and you were elderly, COVID struck you at a high rate and crippled and killed many people with both of those aspects. If you were overweight and you were elderly. But we didn't say anything about, hey, exercise more, diet, get your weight under control. Instead, we said mask and go into your house and never leave. Eat Cheetos and watch Netflix. We overall increased the average amount of weight that people in America weigh, and we were already a fat country.
You trying to offend our Cheetos? Our Cheetos eating? Some people like Cheetos.
I am fat shaming. Like you.
I have seen you with Pringles. Don't be throwing shade at Cheetos.
I eat very unhealthily compared to my wife, who is going to live to be 115 years old. But to what extent are we only going to single out COVID? As if no other illness exists, as if no other way of death exists, as if, frankly, we are ignoring many deaths that are occurring because of our response to COVID. Again, if you look at, I'm big on looking at years of life lost because people want to look at life lost. Well, we're all, spoiler alert on a Monday in the summer, I'm sorry, as we roll into August, all of us are going to die, right? Spoiler alert. I hate to hit you with it. What we try to do is make sure that as many people as possible can live long and healthy lives. And what we're seeing is the lockdowns are taking many more years right now. I really believe this off of people's lives. 30,000 more people died of drug overdoses than have ever died before. The average age of those people are in their 30s and their 40s. Well, they lost 40 years of life. And think about the math on this. If you look at the average age of death, if somebody's 40 years old dies, they lose around 40 years of life. Buck, if somebody who's 80 dies, they may lose a year or 6 months of life. Years lost is a big deal when it comes to quality of life and life lost.
Years lost, we can't even agree that it's not a... I mean, yes, everything you said there is true and worthy, but Clay, it's like... We can't actually even get people to all agree right now that instituting a mask mandate in Washington, D.C. when you've had two people die in 2 weeks, you don't even have a person a day in a city of 750,000 with very dense population in a lot of the city. We're treating this as though numbers no longer matter. There's an obvious effort among some of the Democrat-aligned media to downplay the fact that deaths are very low from COVID right now, even with how many weeks has the Delta variant been spreading. Los Angeles County, last 14 days, I think it was either 6 or 7 on average a day. Los Angeles County has millions of people. New York City has 8 million people. You're losing a person or two a day in New York City, and we're still having this conversation. I mean, I got told, Clay, you're going to be here tomorrow. Don't worry. Yes. I speak lib, and I will protect you from the crazy libs here. I know how to distract them. I'll start talking about intersectionality, because when someone from Nashville who loves freedom shows up, they get very anxious. But you're going to see there'll be stores you go into, there'll be restaurants who all of a sudden are saying, we got to go back. We're in so much danger. We're not in so much danger all of a sudden. This is the foundational lie of the panic right now. We're going to be okay. We are managing this. Everyone needs to calm down. And we need to go back to a fully pre-pandemic reality in our day-to-day lives. That's the point that they won't concede.
Amen. And we have the data to reflect that this is what is going to happen with the Delta variant, because you can look at what happened in India and you can look at what happened in England. And both of those countries got the Delta variant before we did. We're going to see a spike in overall number of cases, although hopefully we're not going to see that much of a spike in deaths or hospitalizations relative to what we've seen before. And then those numbers are going to recede. And here's the deal, Buck. The reason why they need to institute all these new changes is because if they do nothing and we see a little curve and then it comes back down, you're going to have even more evidence of the truth, which is almost everything we've done is cosmetic theater that has had virtually no impact on the spread of the virus.
And for anyone who might wonder for a second, any reasonable person who would say, hold on, what Clay just said is true, but who could be so diabolical that they wouldn't want to know the truth about what works against COVID and what doesn't when it comes to mitigating the spread? And let's be very clear, as Clay and I have said many times, vaccines effective in bringing down deaths and hospitalizations. That's proven so far in the data. All this other stuff we're talking about, though, lockdown theater, the people who don't want us to get to the truth are the people who would be held accountable, not just Fauci, but the whole health apparatus, all the blue check MDs out there who've been making jackasses of themselves for over a year now on TV,
that's right,
demanding these things, demanding they mask up your children. And ultimately, at the top of all this, too, the Democrat Party's power apparatus. What happens to the Democrats in the midterms if we all figure out that, one, they basically lied about how Trump was so awful with the virus to beat him, and two, they're a bunch of clowns who actually ignored the data while they were screaming hashtag science the whole time. I think that plays badly for them, Clay, among independents and persuadables.
I think this is playing awful for them already, Buck. And we're going to continue to talk about this. I want to make sure we hit the mayor of D.C. and a story that's basically being covered up by the Washington Post. But in the meantime, if you're with AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile, you're paying too much for your cell service. Pure Talk is the exact same network using the exact same towers as one of those big carriers, but for a heck of a lot less money. In fact, they can save the average family over $800 a year. Switching is insanely easy. I've got my 13-year-old son on their network. He gets unlimited talk, text, and 6 gigs of data for just $30 a month. And Buck, it's so easy to sign up.
And if you go over on data, they don't charge you for it. I mean, here's just a customer who wrote in, one of the people who switched, who listens to us here, John from Bowling Green. He says, the customer service was great and respectful. They treat you as a valued customer. We'll continue with your service provider and recommend it to friends that they transfer to Pure Talk. So he's having a great experience. That tens of thousands of Rush listeners have already switched over. Do it right now. And it's so easy. From your cell phone, dial #250 and say Pure Talk. You'll save 50% off your first month. Just take out your cell phone now, dial #250 and say Pure Talk. You'll get the option to receive a one-time auto-dialed text message from Pure Talk.
Welcome back Volkswagen, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. I am Clay Travis. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us as we roll through the Monday edition of the show. And we got to talk about this because it's not being covered very much in the Washington, D.C. area or by national media. Remember the Washington Post slogan that they put at the top of their newspaper? Democracy dies in darkness. Well, interestingly, D.C. now has a mask mandate, vaccinated or unvaccinated, indoors. And Tiana Lowe at the Washington Examiner caught Mayor Muriel Bowser of Washington, D.C., officiating a wedding and then dining with hundreds of unmasked people indoors as a part of that wedding. I went and looked on Sunday, Buck Sexton, because I was like, I wonder how much attention the Washington Post is giving to this flagrant violation of D.C.'s new mask policy by a powerful person, the mayor of Washington, D.C., given the fact that they have Democracy Dies in Darkness emblazoned at the top of the Washington Post. It was on Sunday. I can't even find it on their website now. On Sunday, it was the 61st lead story that this had occurred, and it was the 24th COVID story on the Washington Post website. A huge majority of Washington Post readers are never going to know that their mayor doesn't even believe enough in the mask mandate that she's put in place to follow it for even 24 hours after it began.
Just think for a second, Clay, about the reaction. And I know this game, we as conservatives, we have to do this all the time. Conservatives have, but we have to. Imagine you had a Republican mayor who was somehow involved in this kind of hypocrisy, or even a Republican mayor who was at a ceremony like this, and they had photos of it, and they said, look at what a super, it would be a super spreader event, right? That's what they'd be calling it. Another example of this is the phenomenon of the 500 person birthday party. Now, Clay, you've got a lot of friends, but 500 people, that's a lot of folks, right? I mean, let's.
That's a big party. Yes.
500 person birthday party, at Barack Obama, former President Obama's $12 million house in Martha's Vineyard, which is actually kind of like a mid-level house in the Vineyard for what it's worth there. The Vineyard is a place where you could spend outrageous sums of money, but obviously the guy's in a giant, beautiful mansion, 500 people at his wedding. Now, I have no problem with Obama doing this. I want to be very clear. I think Obama should be able to have a party for thousands of people, but I'm not a Democrat who's lecturing everybody all the time about mask mandates and vaccine yes. mandates and all the rest of it. I'm consistent. If Obama... Forget about him for a second. If Ron DeSantis, even in Florida, were holding a 500-person birthday party right
people
now,
where would the lose smash, their minds.
Where the Smashing Pumpkins, by the way, a kind of overrated 90s band. I love 90s rock. I don't know where you are on this. They're okay. They're not. I'm not going to say, you know, better than Green Day, maybe. But the reality here is if Ron DeSantis was doing this, Clay, it would be considered an act of mass human sacrifice. They'd be comparing everyone who attended Ron DeSantis's party to, you know, Jim Jones, Kool-Aid drinking cultists.
And that's right.
I'm sick of the bull crap. Like, we all know that there's no actual standard they use to judge these things.
No doubt. And Obama's party, by the way, is on Martha's Vineyard. So everybody is not only going to his party, they're traveling to it, right? It's not as if he's having a party in New York City or Washington, D.C., where many people who would be attending the party already live. Martha's Vineyard is, I would venture to say, of the 500 people that'll be there, I bet 450 of them are traveling to Martha's Vineyard expressly for the former president's party. I mean, if Trump had a 500-person party at Mar-a-Lago for his birthday, people would lose their mind. It's not even a current sitting elected official. It's former President Trump. People would say, oh, look, Trump continues to say that that COVID doesn't matter. Look, he continues to put his life and his fun above everybody else. Oh, look at the lack of science that he's following. Obama does it, and by and large, most people are going to ignore it. Not even worse than that, Buck. The media is going to make excuses for them. They're going to say, well, but it's outdoors. Well, but they're testing people for COVID. Well, but people are vaccinated. Whatever the case may be, the story of why the CDC decided in many ways to reinstitute the mask mandate came from a party July 4th in Massachusetts.
Basically,
in Cape Cod, basically the exact thing that he's doing.
Excellent point. Completely true. A big party led to the panic that has now swept across
with
the whole country.
With all vaccinated people. It's the exact same thing Obama's doing.
But this is exactly what you see playing out time and time again, where COVID has been used by the lockdowners as a weapon against their political opponents and as a tool of control. So when you have anti-lockdown protests in the beginning of the pandemic, it's, oh my gosh, these are super spreader events. BLM starts in June of 2020.
Yes.
It's, oh, this is good for public health. They're going to save lives. And you even saw this recently. You know, we've talked a bit on the show about Cuba. It's dropped out of the headlines. I think, unfortunately, the regime is going to manage to, you know, crush the people under their boot heel once again. But you started to see reports in the last week or so of, you know, those freedom protests in Cuba coinciding with a bit of a spike, just so that the media can show everybody, oh, we like the regime in Cuba a little bit, and so we're willing to criticize the protests as COVID spreader events, right? This is always the tell, and it happens all over the place. But, you know, there's another major area of dishonesty, Clay, that I think we need to get into here, and that is, it's just those unvaccinated Trump supporters who are causing all the problem here. I got some data. You're going to be in New York tomorrow about who, and I'm not just talking about demographic groups, who works for what organizations. Let's get into major employers who have people that are not vaccinated. I think this is going to be very interesting. Here's a hint. It reminds me of teachers, schmunions.
I can't wait to hear that data. Also, eviction moratoriums turning into a major battleground, and your favorite sports team, the U.S. women, take one right on the chin. We'll talk about all that and more as we continue to roll throughout the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. Oh, Canada, indeed.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.